Morning again. Don't get quiet on me. I'll make you do things. Morning. Welcome, one and all. For those of you that came in after we welcomed, it's good to see you. My name's Danny, if you didn't pick that up already. And I'd rather be sort of central and a bit closer, but because of the screen, I've got to stand over to one side. So I'm not giving all my attention to these guys. You know, I love you too. just so you know. That's why I'm over here. I'm also in line with the camera, so I am being recorded. You're not, just me. So this morning, I just want to say this actually. Just important, because we are a worshipping people. We believe that worshipping our God, and worship is all of our life, by the way. It's the way we live our life in obedience to God. It's living a holy life. It's living a surrendered life. But one dimension of our worship is to lift our voices. And we get the wonderful opportunity to do it with music. For those that are musically gifted, they can lead us into God's presence, which is a significant thing. And, you know, the worship isn't a warm-up act to the main attraction, i.e. me. Not that I'm saying I'm the main attraction. The worship isn't the warm-up act to the preached word, because we get an opportunity to meet with God in worship just as much as we get an opportunity to meet with our God through the scriptures, through the preached word of God. So let's never underplay the importance of that moment where a word comes and we can respond in that moment. We can be obedient to Christ in that moment, and that is an act of worship. And when we can actually lift our songs and respond to God triumphantly, that is, in that moment, an opportunity to meet with our God. So we're starting a new series this morning. Obviously, we're not continuing in a series because this is day one, this is week one, and we're going to be looking at, for the coming weeks, however long we feel to stay here, encountering Jesus. That's what we're going to be looking at for the coming weeks, and how encountering Jesus means encountering life, eternal life. We're called Christian Life Center. And we're Christian Life Center Roffey here in North Horsham. And it's Christian Life Center for a reason. Life is at the center of who we are as a people, because Jesus is at the center of who we are as a people. True life and eternal life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen? And he is central to all we do. Jesus is central to all we do and to all we are as the people of God. It's his life that sustains us. It's his life that nourishes us. And we can do nothing apart from him. We can do nothing apart from him and his spirit at work in our lives. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look at the eyewitness account of Jesus through one of his closest friends and his closest followers. And his name was John. And actually, we find his account of the life of Christ and his experience of Jesus himself firsthand in his gospel called John in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, gospel, just so you know, means good news. So we're going to be hearing a lot of good news over the coming weeks. Who's happy about that? No one wants to hear bad news, do they? We're not here to read the newspapers this morning. We're here to hear good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And John, this friend of Jesus, this follower of Jesus, records time and time again how ordinary human beings, like you and me, by the way, encountered this man, this God-man called Jesus Christ, and their lives were radically transformed for good. One of John's major themes, as you read through the Gospel of John, he also wrote a letter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So he wrote a gospel, which was an account of the life of Jesus. And he also wrote letters to the churches. And you see, there is this mega theme about light and life in his writing. Why? Because he had encountered life for himself. Let's just read one of those scriptures. Actually, 1 John 1, verse 1 to 2. This is one of the letters that John wrote. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This, John wrote, we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it. We testify to it. And we proclaim to you this eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And if you haven't caught on to this, he's talking about Jesus. He said, this life appeared in this man called Jesus.
We've seen it as disciples, as followers, as friends of this Jesus when he walked on planet Earth for that moment in time. We've seen it. We've heard it. We've experienced it. We've encountered it firsthand, up close and personal. And this is what we proclaim to you. This very life-encountering, transformational person called Jesus Christ. This is what we proclaim. And this is what I am proclaiming, church, this morning to you. This wasn't theory to John. This wasn't abstract words or thoughts. This wasn't someone else's ideas. He encountered it firsthand, up close and personal. He said, I saw it. I heard it. I touched it. Just touch the person next to you. If you don't know them, then this is a good way to get to know them. He said, I touched this man. I touched this Jesus. This was a real experience for me. And he spent 3 years with him, seeing how others encountered him also, and personally encountering him for himself. You know, I've also encountered this Jesus. I've seen him. I've seen him in the room with me, but God has revealed Jesus to me. I've experienced his life throughout my life. I've walked with him. I've known him as a friend and me as a follower of Jesus for 25 years, as have many others in this room. And actually, I'd like to invite Alex to come up. And he's also a man who has encountered this life in Christ. And he's just going to give you one snapshot of that for him.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, so I wanted to share. Danny asked me, can you give a testimony? And I said, yeah, loads. You know, what do you want? And I don't say that to boast. I say that partly because of the length that I've been walking with Jesus, but also just how faithful he is. And I find that Jesus is faithful where I step into him. So there are parts of my life that I might want to, you know, hold on to, old ways, habits, and so on. But when I step, you know, into Christ, then, you know, I have, you know, had so many successes through him of things, you know, relationships, losing my father, you know, all sorts of sad ships, but I've given them over. And the one thing I wanted to give over is actually one of the most recent at the moment. So, and hopefully this will probably hit home to many of us at the moment, because it's to do with my money. So, you know, we've been going through a tough time at home, you know, just with coming out of lockdown and just things being a bit stressy. And it's put a strain on our marriage. As a couple, we're fine, but we're a bit worn out. And then, you know, lockdown comes to close and comes to finish, and brilliant. You know, I've got a new job, and then I get landed a massive tax bill. And I don't have that living father to go to and say, Dad, can you bail me out? And I think, oh my goodness, it's an amount that I can't pay. And only, I think, 2 months before, maybe even less than that, we listened to a preach from one of our elders in CLC Central about tithing and offering. And the reason I wanted to give this testimony is because I don't have any worry. And the money situation isn't fixed. If you looked on it on a balance sheet, you'd be like, oh my goodness, do we need to be selling cars and looking to move home? But I don't have that. I have, the best word that I can come up with is shalom. I have a peace that Jesus won't leave me destitute, that he won't see us homeless. And that thing that I talked about before, where I put my trust in things, is in the past, when money was tight, I would reduce my tithing or I would stop my tithing. But where I am now is I give that joyfully, my first fruits. Before the HMRC, before a taxman, before anyone else touches it, my first fruits go to him. And so I didn't know that Ade was going to talk about tithing this morning, or I didn't know what Danny was going to preach on, but I wanted to give you that testimony that I don't have worry. And the one piece of scripture that speaks to me more than anything when I feel that the enemy could give me something to worry about is, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. This is the bit that I like the most. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And I take that to heart. you know, more than you may know, my confidence comes in Jesus, in the fact that it says here right down in the word that I am more valuable than the birds of the air. So that is my testimony, is that I don't have fear, I don't have worry, and I have a shalom, and God will provide.
Yeah, wonderful. Let's turn to John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It's talking about Jesus again. Jesus, in the beginning, he was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this isn't the John who's writing the gospel. He's talking about John the Baptist here. He came, this John, came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He pointed to the one who was light, which was Jesus. The true light, Jesus, gives light to everyone. Sorry, the true life that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world. Sorry, I'll get my words right. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came to his own people, but his own people didn't even receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And this morning we spoke about a father, that we are children of an eternal father, of a heavenly father. The word became flesh. This is Jesus again. And he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. And for those of you that don't really understand this word glory, because none of us really do, it actually really means his beauty and his character. It's the essence of who he is, the fullness of who he is. We've seen that, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John begins here in the beginning. So today is the beginning of a new chapter, isn't it? Today is a new beginning. It's a new Genesis. Now, Genesis, the first book in the Bible, it means origins. It means new beginnings. And we begin a new chapter here in the north of Horsham today, as a new church community is birthed here in Rothie, here in the Millennium Hall and the surrounding area. And we're excited to be here. We're thankful that God has led us to this place. And you know, John here is referencing the beginning of all things. He says, in the beginning, right at the start of all things, when God created all things, he spoke into the darkness and there was light. He spoke into the chaos and the disorder and life sprung up. And in 7 days, we see that God creates the heavens and the earth. And he creates mankind. Well, in the 6 days and the seventh day he rested, he sat back and he said, this is good what I've done. This is seriously good. And the pinnacle, the crown of all creation, was when he looked at mankind and he said, this is very good. John tells us that this word was present. And this word, without going into that in any great depth, essentially it was Jesus himself. Jesus is the word that John references here. And through this word, all things were made. Life came into existence. So Jesus was present at creation and he was creating life. All things came to life through him. But he also says, John, that this word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So that we see that later on, Jesus came in the form of a human being. He was born to a virgin in Bethlehem, in the outback of Israel. This baby was born. This God became man. He made his dwelling among us. And for 33 years, he walked on planet Earth. God in human form. What an amazing thing, just to try and understand that God chose to make himself flesh and blood and bones and arms and feet and toenails and eyebrows and whatever that part of your body you like the least. Jesus took on that form, flesh and blood. And he made his dwelling among us. This is amazing. He came and he lived among his people. And John wrote, we've seen him. We've experienced that. That Jesus, that God in human form, we've encountered him. Amazing, amazing thing. And God chose to enter into a broken world, a human world, a world of suffering, a world of sin. And sin basically just means disobedience. It means when we disobey what God asks of us. And that actually is to live a holy life unto him, to live our lives for him, in obedience and surrender to him, to set our lives apart. And when we don't do that, the Bible calls it sin. It's disobedience. It's actually missing the mark. God says, I want you to live this way. We choose to live our own way. And that's where we fail to hit the mark of what God asks of us. And God entered into that brokenness, into that rebellion, into that darkness on planet Earth. Now, God isn't aloof. He's not a distant God. God chooses to come up close and personal. He's a relational God. He's a father who wants to relate to his children. He's relational. He's personal. And he enters in. So let's explore these words that John uses repeatedly, life and light. And we'll start with life. Turn to someone next to you and say, are you still awake? And if they're not, just give them an elbow in the ribs or something appropriate. So, according to Wikipedia, so put as much weight on this as you want to, okay? But I had to find something. According to Wikipedia, there's currently no consensus regarding the definition of life. One popular definition is that organisms are open systems that maintain homeostasis. They're composed of cells, have a life cycle, undergo metabolism, can grow, adapt to their environment, respond to stimuli, reproduce, and evolve. And if I lost you there, then ask Alex what that all means afterwards. So you may well have your own definition, your own understanding of what life means, what life is all about. But John uses this word repeatedly throughout his writings, Zoe. Just turn to someone and say, Zoe. Zoe. And Zoe, which is this translation, this Greek word for life that we've read about, it means absolute fullness of life. Now, who doesn't want absolute fullness of life? Is anyone in this place that doesn't want absolute fullness of life? That's good. You didn't come into this place this morning thinking, oh man, actually, let me just pause here for a moment. Maybe you are in a moment where life is a struggle, where life, as we heard through that prophetic word this morning, we've all got stuff going on in our lives. And maybe for some of us, we are at that point of despair where maybe even we don't feel like we can even go on because of those circumstances. But Zoe life, absolute fullness of life, is on offer this morning. So how do we define or qualify what that actually means? Now, this fullness of life, it's not about the good life, in inverted commas. It's not about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if there is anyone American among us. It's not about that. That's not what fullness of life is all about. It's not about lavish homes, expensive cars, material possessions. Excuse me. It's not about job satisfaction. It's not about being married or not being married. It's not about having family. And some of those things are good things, by the way. I'm married with children. It's not about living a long life or even a healthy life. That's not what this word is all about. It's not about having the freedom to do whatever pleases you, whatever you want to do in life. That's not fullness of life. Zoe life is actually, it's not a concept. It's not an external thing. It's not material. It's not physical. Zoe is actually about a person. And hopefully you're hearing this theme this morning. It's a reference to the life of God himself. The eternal divine life of an eternal God. This is how you define absolute fullness of life. And 1 John 5, 11 to 12, John writes, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, in Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this is a very simple equation for simple minds like yours and mine. Jesus equals life. John tells us if we have Jesus, we have life. If we don't have Jesus, we don't have life. Zoe life. What life is really all about. So here who here wants life? Zoe life. Who here wants that? Who's hungry for that kind of life? So the question is, do you have Jesus? Because John writes, those who have Jesus have life. So do you have him? Which is a bit of an odd term of phrase, isn't it? Do you have Jesus? But let me put it this way. Have you received Jesus? We read in John 1 that to those who received Jesus, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So have we received Jesus? And do we believe in his name? Now, we're going to come back to believe in a minute. But this word receive, it means this. It means to take to oneself. It means to join together. It means to receive near. To receive near. So this is close. This is personal. This is invading your space. This is relational. This is actually intimate. And Jesus prays, this is eternal life. This is Zoe life. That they, us, that we would know him, the only true God, and we would know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, knowing Jesus, knowing God the Father. This is what Jesus prays. He says, this life is about knowing him. If you want to know this fullness of life that we're exploring this morning, it's about knowing Jesus. So do you know Jesus? Have you received Jesus? Have you received Jesus? And knowing, receiving, it's not about a head knowledge. It's not about an understanding. You know, it's possible to have knowledge about God. And hello. What happened there? I suddenly got very loud. Do you want to bring me down? So one evening, a friend came and found him shaking with fear outside his house. This was in the middle of the Blitz. And he told her, it's not the bombs, it's the dark. I've been afraid of darkness all my life. So more than the physical darkness, is anyone here experiencing a darkness in their life right now? And actually, we heard about that this morning. There was a response that was laid out for us to respond to this morning. Perhaps there's an anguish you're experiencing in your life right now. There's a darkness. Perhaps there's some form of hurt or pain. Maybe you've recently experienced a tragedy or a loss of some sort. Maybe you're feeling desperate. Maybe you're feeling fearful or anxious and you need to find peace. Perhaps there's a sense of emptiness, numbness, hopelessness in your life, which feels like a darkness, feels like an oppressive darkness. You know, there's all forms of darkness. And what do you do when you experience physical darkness, when it gets dark at night? What do? Unless you want to go to sleep. You turn on the light. You switch on the light. Why? Because light dispels the darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light and darkness cannot coexist. They cannot exist in the same place at the same time. Scientifically speaking, light and dark, they're not opposing forces. Rather, dark is the absence of light. And when light enters in, darkness has to flee. Darkness is vanquished by the light. And we read that in Jesus, in him, was life, and that life was light. Somehow this life of Christ, this Zoe life that we've just talked about, somehow in that is light. So somehow in the life of Christ, there is a light that dispels darkness. Because lightness and darkness cannot coexist. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. John writes that Jesus is this true light who shines in the darkness. And get this, not only does the light shine in the light overcomes the darkness, John writes. It's not that there's a light in the corner. It's that the light has actually driven the darkness away. Such is the power of the life of Christ. The darkness has to flee when the light of Christ breaks in. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is a light-life connection here. John connects life and light and life. Where there's light, there's life. Where there's life, there's light. It's two sides of the same coin, light and life. You flick it over, it's light and it's life. They are intimately connected. Now, the best analogy to kind of grasp this is agriculture or farming. Or for those that grow vegetables in their garden. Anyone like to grow vegetables in their gardens? Maybe you've got fruit trees out there. Yeah. If there's no light, the crops don't grow, do they? The plants don't spring up. And of course, there needs to be water. There needs to be a source of life through that. But light and water. So there's no life unless there's light. There's no food to sustain human life unless there's light. Unless there's this source of light, this source of nourishment. And I want to ask you the question this morning. Do you need to find this life light today? Or to put it another way, do you need to turn on the light? Do you need to turn on the light? How do we do that? Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Zoe life. The light of true life, the light of abundant life. Following Jesus, what does that mean? Whoever follows me, Jesus says. Following Jesus means to trustfully obey and submit to his will, even when it exceeds our understanding. I'll say that again, because that was good. That was good, wasn't it? I didn't write that, actually. So, following Jesus means to trustfully obey and submit to his will, even when it exceeds understanding. It's trustful obedience. It's trustfully obeying Jesus. Let's look at one more scripture here. John 20, 30 to 31. This is right at the end of John's gospel. And this actually sheds light on why he's written this gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So he just gives this account, this testimony of many encounters of Jesus, many miracles. But he says, actually, there are more miracles that he performed that I haven't been able to record in my book, which is amazing. But he says, but these, what I've written, it's been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, Zoe, in his name. So believe, what does that mean? On one level, it means to think something is true and be persuaded by it. But on another level, it means to entrust yourself to something. It's to entrust yourself. So there's a persuasion and a giving yourself because you believe it. But there's a trust that is given. John says that we can know life when we trust that Jesus is the Son of God and he's the Messiah. And Messiah is the same word for Christ, and it means chosen one. It means the one that God has set apart to be the Savior of the world. Jesus means Savior. So when we find Jesus Christ, it means the chosen one to be the Savior. That's what Jesus Christ means. So we can, when we trust this Savior who God has chosen, we can find life. And that is really good news. So will you believe, will you trust that Jesus is God's Son, set apart and sent to be the Savior of the world? And can I invite the worship team to come up? So, this morning, you know, we believe it's important to respond to God's word and be obedient to what he's asking of us and what he's stirring in our hearts. And I wonder what's stirring in your heart this morning. I wonder if there's something that just feels, oh, there's that area. There's that thing. Perhaps there's that area of darkness which has overwhelmed me. Perhaps there's that area of struggle which I need to let go of. And there's two areas that I'd like us to respond to this morning. And firstly, for everyone here this morning, I've spoken about these various forms of darkness in our lives. Do you need the light of Christ to break in? Not only to shine, but to overcome the darkness. And we'd love to pray for you this morning. We're going to make space for that. We're going to make space to pray for those that feel there is some form of darkness in their lives this morning. Something they're facing where they just need breakthrough. They just need God to move. They need this light to dispel that darkness. And we'd love to pray for you this morning. So that's the first area of response. The second area of this, for those in this room, and maybe there's some here this morning, I don't know, who have never encountered Jesus for the first time. You know, those various aspects of darkness that I spoke about this morning, they're very real. They're very tangible things. If you're facing something in your life right now, that's very real. That's very tangible. But there is a darkness in our lives that has much harsher consequences. And the Bible calls it sin, which I spoke about earlier. When we're disobedient to God, when we don't surrender our will to his will for our lives. The problem with this darkness, with this sin, is that it leads to death. The Bible says the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, is death. And death, this is a spiritual death. And it's actually an eternal separation from this Father that we've spoken about this morning. So this is the problem with this sin, this spiritual darkness, which can engulf our lives, is that it actually can separate us from the source of life eternally. This God, this Father, he's a holy God, which means he's perfect in every way. And the thing about perfection or holiness is it cannot be in the same space as imperfection or sin. So we have a problem because we're a people that sin. We're a people that fall short. We're a people that disobey. We're a people that follow our own wants and wishes. So in order to bridge this gap between where we stand and where God is in his holiness, in his perfection, there needs to be a bridge. And that bridge is called Jesus Christ. And that's why God the Father of love, sent his Son into the world, this Word who became flesh that we read about. He entered into humanity so that he could live a perfect, sinless life. And at the age of 30, unjustly, he was crucified on a cross. He was crucified on a cross to take on the sin of the world. That includes yours and that includes mine. And because he was perfect, something monumental happened in this moment where God now looks down upon mankind. And because of the sacrifice of Christ, we can now come before a holy God with boldness if we receive this gift of eternal life in Christ. This is amazing news. Jesus has conquered sin. He's conquered the consequences of sin, which is death, so that we could be saved. So this morning, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come to him, to receive him, to trust in him this morning, and to go on trusting him every day of your life. Let's receive the forgiveness that he has on offer and be restored into a relationship with the Father. Can I ask you to stand, church?